Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Of God's Word, Jonah chapter number 1, and I hope you'll pray for us as we preach today and that God would help us and use us. The Bible said this, verse number 1 of Jonah chapter number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was now like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it into the sides of the ship. The Bible said, go back to verse 5. Let me read it right. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Now, know what it said. Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Jonah was literally in a storm that was about to take his life, but he didn't even realize it. And I want to preach to you on this thought. Allow me some time to lay the groundwork into it. But the dangers of me syndrome. The dangers of me. Jonah wasn't worried about anybody else around him. He wasn't worried about what was going on. He wasn't worried about a whole boat full of sailors that was probably fixing to die and go to hell because they called on their little G-O-D. I'll make mention of that again in a minute. He wasn't aware of any bit of that. Only thing that he was worried about was himself. And if we're not careful today, we'll get eat up with me syndrome. And there is some dangers to me syndrome. Father, I love you today. I pray that over the next few minutes, God, that you would help me to recall the things that I've studied. God, I pray, Lord, for a little while, God, would you please clear my mind today? God, there's so many things running through it, and I pray, God, that you'd just clear it for a little while today. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us as we preach. I pray, God, that it just wouldn't be words uttered from my lips, but God, I pray, God, that it would be words directly from you. God, I'll get it to the hearer's ear, but I pray that you lodge it deep down in their heart, and God, will give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Again, I want to look at this thought for just a little while, the dangers of me syndrome. The book of Jonah is a very interesting book. Whenever you study it out, you'll find that there is a prodigal prophet in verse number 1, or in chapter number 1. In chapter number 2, there is a praying prophet. In chapter number 3, there is a preaching prophet. But in chapter number 4, he gets back to that me syndrome. And there is a pouting prophet in chapter number 4. It's interesting to note that Jonah is one of the very few books of the Bible that ends with a question. And the book of Jonah ends with a question. Whenever you come here to this chapter, you'll find in verse number 2, there is his waking. The Lord says to him, Jonah, arise. There is his walk. He tells him to go to Nineveh. There is his ward there in the city of Nineveh. But you'll also find there is his warfare. What does he do? He rises up to flee from the presence of the Lord. He goes out from the presence of the Lord. There is an internal battle that is going on in Jonah's life. Is he going to give in to himself, or is he going to give in to the Lord? And we ultimately know, to begin with, he gives in to himself. I want to call your attention into verse 4 and 5 and deal with that for just a little while. We note in the beginning of this chapter that God had issued a divine command. He said, "Arise and go to Nineveh." But in verse number 3, Jonah decided to take a different course and goes a different way. Jonah decided to go away from God initially instead of running to God and running for God. Due to this, there is a response that happens. Can I say this? There is a consequence that comes with every choice, whether it's good or whether it's bad. There is a consequence that comes with every choice. It would do us real good to evaluate the consequence before we make our choice. But many times we make our choice without evaluating the consequence to come. So all of this that Jonah does initiates a response. Note this by way of introduction. There's the response of the sovereign. And I'm going to say this to you. If you're God's child, there will be a response from him when you don't do what he says do. There will be a response from him. There's the response of the sovereign. But the Lord sent out a great wind. Who sent the great wind out? Who caused the storm? It was the Lord. It was a reflection of Jonah's choice, but ultimately the Lord sent it. Think about the timing of it. God could have immediately stopped Jonah, but he didn't. As soon as Jonah turned to walk away from the presence of the Lord, God could have immediately stopped him, but he didn't. Sometimes God will just let you go ahead and make the foolish decisions that you're going to make. Is everybody okay this morning? The timing of his response. Think about the terror of his response. Just when everything seemed to be going old Jonah's way, and just when he thinks everything's all right, the Lord sends out a great wind. But think about this and the sovereign's response. There is a truth to it. What is that truth? There is a truth about the chastening hand of God. Hebrews still says this, "Those whom I loveth I correcteth." I was talking to a gentleman yesterday, and we was talking about a guy that we was praying for that was heavy on our heart. And I said this to the gentleman that I talked to. I said, if the chastening hand of God does not come in someone's life, according to the Bible, they are bastards and not sons. There is a chastisement from God, and this truth reveals that chastisement. This truth also reveals who is in control of the chastisement. I remember what Dr. Ray said one time. Dr. Percy Ray said this, "God will not make you live for him, but he'll make you wish you had him." Every person sitting here today has a free will. And if you want to go do something, you can go do that. But understand there is consequences to that. And also understand when the correcting hand of God starts, you're not going to stop it. I remember Mama would say, "Now don't do that." My mama never learned how to count to three. She'd tell us one time, and then if we kept doing it, well, we took to what she called the hoorah bush. Some of y'all's never been to the hoorah bush. I can tell by the way you act. We went to the hoorah bush, Brother Lloyd, and at the hoorah bush, there was usually some bloodshed. You say, "Preacher, what are you I'm talking about?" She give me an old-fashioned whooping. And watch this. When Mom told me not to do it, I had control about the next action and the next circumstance. But when I continued rebelling against Mom, and my mom grabbed me by one hand and had a belt in the other hand, we went round and round and round. I could scream, I could holler, I could jump up and down. I could say I was going to call 911. I could do whatever I wanted to do. But Mama had control over when the beating stopped. Listen to me. When you make the wrong choice, You may repent and get right with God, but that does not mean the correcting hand of God automatically lifts off of your life. There's response of the sovereign. Watch this. There's the response not only of the sovereign, there's the response of the sailors. I'm headed somewhere. Stay with me. The response of the sailors. Well, what was it? It was fear. Man, these guys are in the storm of their life. They think they're fixing to die. There was a false faith. Why? Because it said they cried out to their little G-O-D. But watch this. There was a forsaking. What did they do? They began casting things over. But I want you to look at Jonah's response to this. What is, in verse 4 and 5, what is the response of the servant Jonah in every bit of this? Jonah now has a bad case of the me syndromes. He's not worried about anything else, but he's down in the side of the ship, and he's asleep. We went to Pennsylvania and watched that show there at Sights and Sound, and it was Jonah. And if you've ever saw Jonah, you know that big boat's up on the stage and it comes out and it opens up. And whenever it opened up, Jonah was in there and there was a hammock. He was laying in that hammock asleep. And I don't know if Jonah's in a hammock. I don't know if he's on the bed, but I do know this. He's become so comfortable with what's going on, he's asleep. Kind of sounds a lot like a man by the name of Samson. When the Bible said this about Samson, he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. Why? Because Samson had a bad case of the me syndromes. What did he say? He said this, get her from me. Get her from me, for she pleaseth me well. See, God had offered Jonah the whole city of Nineveh. God had offered Jonah a whole city that he was going to send revival to. But Jonah chose to flee from the presence of God in a different direction. I want you to see three or four things, and I'm watching the time. Jonah becomes careless, and carelessness always leads to casualties. He become careless. He didn't care no more. You know what? There's sometimes, Brother Matt, that I stand and preach, and man, I know by what people's talked to me about that what I'm preaching that God ordered for them. I don't mean that arrogantly. I'm just being honest. And you sit and you watch them, man, and there's no emotion about them. I've watched young people in 19 years of pastoring. I've had parents come talk to me and say, please pray for my young'un. They're going through this. And, man, you get up and preach, and the choir sings, and God moves, and they just sit there. Why? Because they're careless. They're not worried about everything else. They're only worried about one thing, and that's me. That's me. So there's some dangers that comes with that. Let me show you four things. Number one, he became careless of the will of the sovereign. Jonah now is careless about what God wants. Jonah's not interested in what the will of God is for his life. You say, well, how do you know that? Where's he at? He's not in Nineveh. He's not running to Nineveh. He's not preaching in Nineveh. He's not seeing souls saved in Nineveh. No, he's in a boat asleep. He become careless about the will of God in his life. Hear me and hear me well. When you quit walking in the Spirit, you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. And in doing that, you will become careless about the will of God in your life. Do you hear what I just said? Say, preacher, how do I stay in His will? You walk in the Spirit. Say, preacher, how do I do right? You walk in the Spirit. Every day of your life, you beg God to keep you in the Spirit. What is Jonah doing? He's leaving the presence of God. Let me preach it in our day and age. He's walking away from the Holy Ghost. He's shutting down the move of the Holy Ghost in his life. And he's saying, God, I don't care about what you want for my life. I don't care that you want to use me to bring revival to a nation. I don't care that you want to use me to preach. preach. I don't care that you want to use me to sing. I don't care that you want to use me to play. I'm just worried about me. And become careless about the will of God in his life. Number two, he became careless about the worth of a soul. The worth of a soul. I thought about this today. Why is the church here? Matt was crooked and it was bothering me. Number one, to have straight mats. Why is the church here? Why are we gathered here this morning? There's one primary purpose in it. Souls. That is the prime. You say, preacher, why do we sing? Because of souls. Say, preacher, why do we have Sunday school? Because of souls. Say, preacher, why do we have a youth program? Because of souls. Say, preacher, why do you preach? Because of souls. Preacher, why do you study? Because of souls. You know what Jonah is? He has got a bad case of the me syndromes, and souls is out of the picture. There's a whole group of men. There's a whole group of men on a boat fixing to die, and Jonah's asleep. I hope you're hearing what I'm preaching to you. There's a whole city. There's a whole city waiting to hear the gospel that God's already prepared. God's already got them ready. God's wanting to send revival to Nineveh. But because Jonah is too worried about me, there's a whole boat fixing to die. There's a whole, you know what, it was 3 days, at least 3 days before he got there. And you study the population out. You've heard me preach it before. I wonder how many people died those 3 days, lost without God and went to devil's hell. And the blood will be on Jonah's hand one day at the judgment seat. We must understand that we don't go to sleep and we don't get a case of me because of souls. Well, I'm not going to be involved in the church if I'm not the main part of the church. You're careless. I'm not going to sing in the choir unless I get a part in the choir. You're careless. You just need to stay on the seat. I'm preaching good this morning. Why do we do what we do? It ain't to hold a microphone. It ain't to hold a position. It ain't to be on a platform in front of everybody. It's because they're sinners weighing in the balance that's headed to a devil's hell. And he's careless about that. He could care less. Some people are so wound up in themselves. They're so wound up in themselves that they could care less if the whole world died and went to hell. Number one, he became careless of the will of the sovereign. Number two, he became careless of the worth of a soul. Number three, he became careless of the welfare of the sailors. The welfare of the sailors. And I know that every passage of Scripture has a primary interpretation, a practical application, and prophetical implication. I know all of that. Let me give you a practical application for just a minute. There's some people on our boat. You hearing me? And we go to sleep, and we get a case of the me syndromes, it affects everybody on the boat with us. It affects everybody on the boat with us. I told the Sunday school class this morning. I said the other Sunday morning, I walked up on the platform. And I'd had a hard week. I'd had a real hard week. Be honest with you, if you just want to know the truth, in the flesh, I said in the flesh, you got it too. You just got too much of a me syndrome to admit it. Amen. So I wish Brother Ben was still singing. Well, he ain't. In the flesh, Brother Josh, I just assumed to sit at the house that day. See, some of y'all can come in here and sit down on a pew and be blowed up and then go back out the door and nobody notices. But when the preacher comes in like that, it affects the whole service. And I walked up to one of the young ladies who was standing on the platform that day that I can tell a lot by the way they are, by the way they act sometimes. I said, "You had a good week?" "Yep." I said, "You're a liar." Afterwards, I told him, I said, "I'm a liar too." I said, "It's been a tough week. It's been a tough week. But when I walk up on this platform to do what God's called me to do, there comes a time that we push our personal feelings to the side. Let me tell you the reason why. Because this is His house. He's the Lord of this place. He's the Lord of every place He should be in your life. Jonah was completely careless about the welfare of anybody else. All he was worried about was him. Wasn't worried about nobody else. Last thing is this. I could preach a long time, but right here is the last thing. The dangers of me syndrome. He became careless about the will of the sovereign, the worth of the soul, the welfare of a sailor. But in closing, he became careless, listen to this, to the wrath of the storm. The wrath of the storm. I remember several years ago, some of you heard me tell this story. Miss Tanya, will you come start playing softly? I remember several years ago, we got up early one morning. We was on the boat by about 3:30 or 4 o'clock. We was headed out of Manio, North Carolina. Brother Dustin was going bluefin tuna fishing. It was a private charter. There went but four of us on it, and then the first mate and the captain. Man, as we was riding out that morning, Brother Mike, the sun started coming up. You know what I'm talking about, man. How beautiful it was. Man, I'm telling you, it was beautiful. We got out there, got the lines in the water, and there was boats all around us. The doghouse was out there, and the Under Armour boat, and several other big-name boats. Brother Lloyd was out there. And, you know, they was off at a distance. We was looking at it and talking about it. And man, we was having a big old time. We was having a big old time. And all of a sudden, the captain began to talk about some storms that had popped up. I didn't think nothing about it. I was fishing, man. I'd never been seasick, still hadn't ever been seasick. Might get the next time I go. Me and one other guy was the only two that wasn't seasick that day before it was all said and done. And out of nowhere, man, there was a storm blowed in. We had 8 to 12 foot seas with 3 to 5 second intervals. Lost port side motor. And I thought in the back of my mind for a minute, well, we might just die right here. I mean, one minute it would look like we was on top of the mountain and everything was around us, was way under us. And then the next minute, we was way down at the bottom of that mountain looking at everything way up above us. And I tell you something, I was aware of the storm that was raging around me. Jonah had become so comfortable in his me syndrome that he was, listen to me, was fixing to lose everything he had and didn't even realize it. Why? Because it's all about him. The wrath of the storm. I thought about David. I thought about David, 2 Samuel 11, the times when kings go forth to battle. And of course, David tarried still at Jerusalem. You that knows the Bible knows what happens. It's when the sin with him and Bathsheba, he said, "Get her for me." He had me syndrome. God made a way of escape for him because that servant said, "Is this not Uriah's wife?" He said, "Get her anyway." Had me syndrome. But if he could have known what was going to come in chapter 12, chapter 13. Matter of fact, if you study his life, from what I can find out, and I've studied it quite a bit, there's never another major accomplishment in David's life after chapter 11. Why? He had me syndrome. If you could have asked David, would that have ever happened to him? He'd have said no. The wrath was fixing, from the storm was fixing to fall. And God sent a messenger by and said, David, you better not do that. But David was so overwhelmed in himself, that he done it anyway. The wrath of the storm. He said, preacher, I don't understand. I don't understand how Jonah could go to sleep in the midst of that. He just got comfortable in it. That's how. You ever go to meeting and, man, the power of God moves and somebody's there you've been praying for and you think, boy, this is the service they're going to move. This is the service they're going to get right with God. And they don't. And you think, well, why in the world? What in the world? Why? They got comfortable. They got comfortable. And when you get comfortable, you get careless. The dangers of me syndrome.